All right, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection. Some more hoops talk. Check us out, MWCConnection.com, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, Twitter, MWC Connection. Everybody knows where to find us. Well, I wouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people.
A good chunk of humans, I would say.
Yeah, a good chunk. Still enclosing 1,500 followers or likes on Facebook. And that voice, Matt Bain there discussing Aztecs and anything else we ask him to sometimes.
Mountain West stuff here and there, yeah.
There we go. I got myself here, Jeremy hanging out. So, as promised, back-to-back basketball shows that are not UNLV-centric, but listen to that one as well because Tyler does a good job. But we're going to discuss the whole week. And the first big news, we'll get to most of the games. We're kind of figuring out our format because there's a lot more games in football. We don't need to discuss every game because there's a lot of games. So if your team doesn't get mentioned, a secret, your team's probably not that good. Sorry, but we'll talk about the Spartans for once and basketball.
Yeah. Probably yeah, not good news. Not anything good, but yeah.
Yeah, the negative side. But the first big news, I got an email from our guy Connor who does some Utah State stuff. It's like, hey, there's a press conference at 1:30. I'm going to go cover it. Can I do something? I'm like, sure, go for it. Stu Morrill's supposed to retire. I'm like, really? Apparently that's the case. He's gone at the end of the year. He is stepping down.
Were you surprised?
Yeah, he's 62, not old, but Larry Brown's still coaching. He's, what, 75?
Right.
Coach till, at least until they get to about 70, I don't think, you know what I mean? Like, until you're about 70, that's like, okay, they probably need to, or 68 or so is where you're kind of thinking.
Right.
They're probably getting close to the end, but.
And it's not like Utah State is kind of like this hopeless little program where it's not even fun to come to work. That's a solid program that's getting better every year.
Yeah, he's on the. I was looking through. I knew he had a good record of. There's an airplane coming through there. I don't know what that was.
I was like, where'd he go?
I don't know what that was. But I knew he had the stat of like 20 wins. He's had anywhere he's been. Like, he's coached at Montana, Colorado State, but most notably Utah State. Mm-hmm. He's had one losing season ever.
Well, from 1990 to 2012. Those 14 straight seasons with the Aggies getting some form of postseason play, whether it's NCAA, NIT, or the CIT finals, and that's a pretty unprecedented run for Utah State.
Only 25 wins.
Yeah, in every single season.
And last year, he had 18 wins.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing what he's done. He's been 8 NCAA tournaments. He's won one NCAA tournament game, but look at this. You go from the Big West playing teams. No, not too much disrespect, but Pacific's okay. Long Beach State's not too bad playing those guys. Mm-hmm. You're dominating that league. You go to the WAC, which they're there for a couple of years. Who are they playing for? Same most teams like Fresno, Nevada. New Mexico State was pretty good.
San Jose was there too.
Reggie Theus was pretty good. New Mexico State was, I think he was there at that time. Mm-hmm. But still, upgraded competition. They still never left to beat. Mountain West, a bit different. Playing New Mexico, Aztecs, UNLV. Going at Wyoming, playing at Boise, like we discussed, tough road games. He's done. Mm-hmm. No, he had 20 wins his first 2 years. Heck,
yeah,
18. But I don't know. I don't really know what the deal was. Maybe he's done coaching. He's coached forever. But this year he had to basically reboot his whole team.
Yeah, I mean he's got a lot of games. There's a lot of talk about LeBron now. How many miles he has? He's played something like 40,000 minutes.
Yeah.
Stu has coached almost 1,000 games. You know, he's won nearly 70% of them, but 1,000 games is a long time to anybody. So he's had a great career. He probably wants to call it quits, probably wants to retire, maybe enjoy his grandchildren. You know, who knows? There are probably a lot of personal reasons going into it.
Right now he has, heading into this season, he had 602 career wins. I think he's about 610 right now or something like that. Mm-hmm. So ridiculous. It's just... Win and playing at the Spectrum, he's what? Edwards were 94% home winning percentage during his time there at Utah State. They don't lose. They rarely lose. It was surprising. Just I guess he's not going to go out on top because unless something crazy happens, they'll probably be lucky to make the NIT this year. They'll probably go to something below that, and I'm sure they'll go to any postseason tournament, even if to pay to get into the CIT or whatever, just for. Couple extra games because they're 9-7 this year, so he's right at 6-11 wins. But I don't know what would you take for like a Hall of Fame coach? Would he be considered in there in that mix? Perhaps
he's got to be considered. I don't know if there's there's the for sure NCAA tournament teams, and then there's the bubble teams. He might be a bubble guy just because he's never been in the in the big time conferences, but the amount of success he's had wherever he's been, that's not easy to do. That's Hall of Fame level. So if I was to vote, I would vote for him. I just don't know if all the voters would, but he has my vote. He's had a fantastic career, brought Utah State from pretty much nothing as a basketball program to a definite relevant basketball program, which not a lot of people can say.
Yeah, in his second year at Utah State, he went undefeated in the conference play.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Yeah, you're Big West, but still, it's like, I remember that year, too. It's like them, and I think that may have been the Kenyon Martin year where they went undefeated in Conference USA. Like, there's like two or three teams that were undefeated in league play.
Yeah. It was 2000 or something, right?
Yeah, 1999, 2000. I think that was the year he broke his leg and was, so he lost to Tulsa in round two.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's just crazy. It's very good. We'll see what happens this year if he can get a winning record, but let's see who they get to replace him. There's one quick name that they should look into at University of Utah. You may have seen him, like Tommy Connors is at University of Utah. He coached with Jarris. He was the head coach at the school called Westminster, like NAIA, for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Was brought back in for Larry Koskoviak's assistant, but he basically what Gary Anderson did for football at Utah and Utah State recruiting. He's similar type of guy for the state of Utah and the area. There's not a ton of basketball guys in Utah, but Jordan Loveridge, if people know Utah basketball, they're pretty good this year. He's a starter for a top 10 team. He's the best player in the state. He's actually keeping the good guys in town. And if he could somehow get, you only need a couple guys for basketball. And so if he has those ties and get the second best guy in the state or third best guy in the state instead of going to BYU or Utah, you're right there in the Mountain West. So that's one name that'll probably be in the mix, I'm assuming.
I dig it, man. That sounds good to me.
Or Randy Ray at Reber State. He's been doing pretty good as well. So
yeah, that's true.
Let's go to some not so good news. We'll go to San Jose State basketball. Not just about in general, because we could make that joke. They're 2-14.
Yeah.
But we made a bet before. Will they have a starting five from the football team take the basketball court sometime this year?
You know what? I wouldn't bet a lot of money, but pretty much the only relevant basketball player that they have left who's not suspended or going to transfer soon is Muhammad, and he's solid, but I wouldn't be too surprised if you saw Muhammad starting and then four tight ends, maybe a couple wide receivers in there.
Yeah, I don't know. We know they've had, I forget the amount, but they've had about four or five players suspended since December 9th. But we now have official news from the school that Jordan Baker and Frank Rogers have been dismissed from the basketball program, and then Matt Pollard is transferring. And before those two guys were out, Rogers and Baker, they're the top two, second and third leading scorer for the team. Yeah. So
they're not scrubs. We were thinking, they might just be kind of bench guys. It won't matter. Nope.
10 points a game each. Not great, but not bad if you're having 10 points a game.
Yeah.
And then the other guy, Pollard, is even – well, he's at the very bottom at five. He's played five games, 1 point per game. So.
Oh, okay.
Good on you. It's just a mess in San Jose State. They don't know what happened. They say team rules and stuff like that. So who knows? And they've been out for a while. There's a big mass. I don't want to speculate, but team rules. That could be anything from being late all the time, not going to class, not passing class, cheating on tests, not going to practice, missing tutoring. There's a lot of – probably a combination of pick out of that group. There's probably two of those where something went wrong to why they're out.
But that's also good on the San Jose State program because, I mean, bet you 10 bucks, which is a lot to me, poor college kid over here, bet you 10 bucks that there are other programs in the country where people are doing the same thing that San Jose State kids were doing, but they keep them because they want to win. Good on San Jose State for keeping to team rules and putting their foot down.
And especially when they're in bad APR situations because they're not in postseason play for it. I think it's just at least this year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a ton to play for. But it looks like those two guys' dismissals will not affect that, which could be a big deal because there's some of the APR stuff that's kind of weird where, this guy transferred, but he's in good standing, graduated somewhere else, but it docks you because he never graduated. There's a few things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Baker's expected to graduate in May, so who knows if he'll play somewhere else if he can. Do something like that. But they're gone, so not that it matters, but and then also let's add more salt to the wound here. Jalen James and freshman center Leon Bomber and senior guard Devontae Wilson, I guess officially are out with injuries for the whole rest of the year.
Jeez.
And yeah, that's
it's just a sad little situation up there in San Jose because the football team's not doing so hot, the basketball team's not doing so hot, the baseball team's not doing so hot.
Yeah, they have not beat the Division I team this year, even though they're 2-14.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's rough. That's rough, Jeremy. That's rough.
Yeah. Good thing it's not my team.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So let's go. Some other quick news really quick because we don't want this to be super duper long, but if you saw the, I don't know, I called it a fight. Some people said it was a kerfuffle. There was a headlock involved.
Mm-hmm.
There, Colorado State and Air Force, they're kind of rivals a little bit just because they're down the road, but there's a fight. There are some suspensions involved due to a headlock or pushing or, I guess, retaliation and striking were the official NCAA reasons for being suspended, but Air Force is missing freshman Matt Mooney, and then Colorado State's missing her do-everything.
J.A. Avila
is out for one game, missing Nevada game, and then Air Force guy Mooney's missing the Mexico game.
Yeah, I mean, before we started the show, I said, oh, the Nevada game, that really doesn't matter. And then you reminded me, wait a minute, Nevada beat UNLV, so...
They're undefeated.
That could be... Well, I think they have one loss, Nevada, in conference.
No, they're 3-0.
Wait, let me see.
I thought I'd stand. Is Pierre Mike not right on that?
I think... No, Fresno State just beat him yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the champion Fresno State Bulldogs, it's seeming like.
Yeah, 3-1.
Yeah, jeez.
So, yeah, we got those two guys. I saw the fight. It delayed 20 minutes. I'm not sure why it delayed 20 minutes because I didn't watch this game live.
I think they were looking at the replay for a while to just see what the heck happened and what type of punishment they should enforce.
Yeah, there was three technicals and a suspension, or not suspension, but ejection for the game, and then they're out. And... Yeah, the Colorado State there, and they started undefeated, but league play, we discussed before, is pretty weird. They're 2-2 in league play. That game, he's their best player, and we'll probably talk about that later. When they play Nevada, they probably should. We'll see where it's at. Is it at Nevada? I forget here. I have last week's schedule at the moment.
It is at Colorado State, so that's favorable to the Rams.
They probably should win, but still, you missed your best player, leads the team in rebounding, scoring, steals. What other categories you could throw in there? Plus, minus, I don't know, minutes, something.
Basically everything. I mean, also just a senior leader overall, a coach on the court.
Yeah, so that could be an issue. But let's get to the games last week. Let's go all the way back to your game.
Okay.
Long time ago, seems like.
San Diego State, New Mexico. Yeah, that was...
Blowout.
That was very, very brutal to watch in the first half. Both teams really couldn't get anything done. I believe it was 22-18.
As I like to call... Standard Aztec basketball.
Yeah, pretty much standard Aztec basketball. But the second half was pretty good looking basketball for SDSU, especially Winston Shepherd scored 16 of his 20 points in the second half. He drew 7 fouls that night, got to the line a lot. Still had the 5 turnovers. That's the part of the game he still needs to work on. But one thing that I think a lot of other people covering SDSU basketball noticed was that was really the first game where they fed it consistently to Angelo Chol in the paint, and that allowed them to break the zone defense. Because a lot of what SDSU has done throughout the year against the zone defense is they pass around the perimeter, hope to find a hole, don't find a hole, then throw up a three-pointer late in the shot clock. Yeah, and that obviously hasn't worked. I think they found a little bit of a formula against New Mexico with interior passing, breaking that zone, but they have to play Angelo Chol more minutes. He got 20 against New Mexico. He's going to have to average starting minutes, I think, for them to keep that up because people now know the game plan against it. But there were lots of good things for SDSU fans, Winston Shepherd, Angelo Chol. I think I wrote a little thing about it, like what we learned from New Mexico. I think it's very clear that Trey Kell shouldn't be the point guard. He should be a two-guard off the bench, which is what he was. That worked out a lot for him. So lots of positives for SDSU. New Mexico just couldn't buy a basket. And you saw what happened when Hugh Greenwood is taken out of a game. New Mexico really struggles to get things going. So
yeah, they had nobody in double figures. He went 2-for-9, shot 29%. Aztecs, their defense will stop most anybody, but mm-hmm. New Mexico, they usually have, especially what Cole Neal can do offensively, Craig Neal, head coach. But what he's done offensively over the years with Steve Alford, they found a way to score points, and they were on the road, and they just couldn't get it. It was just a... Yeah, Hugh Greenwood, 2-of-9. That's pretty much all. No, when he scores 5 points, you can't win.
Yeah, when he's locked down, and he was completely surrounded whenever he had the ball. He couldn't run the offense. He couldn't do much of anything. That team is very reliant on Hugh Greenwood, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Last year's SDSU team was extremely reliant on Xavier Thames, but Neil's going to need to find ways to to win teams definitely game plan and gear after Hugh Greenwood to still find way for him to get open, because the Lobos definitely need him.
Well, they also don't have a guy like with Alex Kirk, a big guy who would take the ball at the top of the key area to set everything up. I don't know if Obelagic can do that too much, but that was a big play. He could either shoot the three or, if like opposite what Aztecs were doing, breaking the zone, have a guy who's standing right at the free throw line to do something from that area, or at least on either side of the block down there, but that's up high. And I don't know if they have him. That was a big key for the past couple years for them to be successful.
I think they're hoping is Jordan Goodman, but he had an off game against SDSU, and he just hasn't been consistently that type of player that you're talking about.
So we'll see. It was an okay game. Second half, kind of, it was more exciting than the first half. It was 14-point win blowout. We'll see. They play each other. Do they play each other again, right?
Yeah, they go to the Pit in, I think, around Valentine's Day, actually.
All right, we'll keep an eye on the list. So let's see what other games we should discuss, since we prepared so well before. As we always like to wing it when we do this, but it's a week and a half. There's 15 games we're going to talk about almost, or something. The games on Saturday, the only games, like Air Force beat San Jose State, who cares? That was Wednesday. Jeez, there are a lot of games. Crap, I forget. Football, we got 5 games, we're good to go.
Well, Nevada beating UNLV was a
yes, huge, that's the one. That thing. There's no canon involved, but they. I don't know what's up with the Rebels. Was this the Stanford team that showed up again, or what?
I don't know what's
with them. At home, no less. They lose to Nevada.
I think it's a typical Dave Rice UNLV situation. So much talent where, you know, some games, it comes together. It looks beautiful. But other games, it looks really, really bad. The chemistry isn't there. The consistency isn't there. And that has a lot to do with the fact that it's a young team, sure. But this is just bad news for Dave Rice.
Yeah, he played well defensively for the most part, but like our guy Tyler put up some videos or gifts, like the last two possessions, there was no effort to stop. I think it wasn't A.J. West who hit the game winner, essentially.
I think it was a nice jumper.
Yeah, the jumper was a screen near the top, kind of left side of the, I guess if you're on offense, left side. Like, I don't know if the UNLV defender, I don't recall who it was playing off the screen, but there was no fight to go through to get a hand in his face. He's like, oh, he stuck a hand up, but he's 2 yards off him, or 5 to 8 feet off him. Like, you're not just, well, I could get a good look if you're 2 feet, 2 yards off me shooting the basketball. So it's like he didn't fight through the screen. I don't know. And the guy, and the thing, it took a while to develop as well. If you watch that play, it's not like the guy who made the screen did a quick turn to a beeline to the basket to maybe get some over the top pass, which would have been quite dangerous. The guy just kind of did the screen, kind of just hung out there, and gave his guy enough time to shoot, and there wasn't enough effort to fight through with the game. Basically, not a game winner, but there's less, like the last possession, 20, 30 seconds left, whatever it may have been, to not really try to block the shot or do something. It's like, oh, I'm wide open. This is like practice.
Yeah, and it's I never agree with people saying, like, oh, it's whoever wants to win more, because they both want to win, of course. But just from what it looked like, it definitely seemed like the Nevada players had more energy and more, you know, let's finish strong, run through the finish line than the Rebels did. I don't doubt how much they wanted to win, but there was definitely more momentum and more energy on that Nevada side when there didn't need to be, because UNLV had the lead late in the game, but they eased off the gas pedal.
Yeah, neither team played well. I don't recall if it was defensively or neither team shot very well overall. They basically shot the same. Percentage-wise, Rashad Vaughn did what he did. Chris Woods, 17 points. There wasn't anything, like, the players who played well played pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, it's basically it came down to, like, that's a big thing with Dave Rice, the in-game coaching. He can bring players in, but in-game, he hasn't been able to make adjustments or get his players to do what he's supposed to do. And even with the staff he has a good staff.
He does.
Well, he has, Larry Schatz on the staff, I believe. What's his name? The other Wyoming coach. The former one. Hugh Schroyer, is that him?
That name sounds familiar. I don't know if that's the Wyoming
coach. It's a former Wyoming coach, and they also have Stacey Ogman. Isn't he an assistant coach as well?
Yeah.
And they have the guy from Bishop Gorman, assistant coach as well.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name. But it's the former Wyoming coach. That's what I'll get at. Not that guy. So they got, like, an experienced staff that's various levels, but I don't know what the deal is where they can't. It's been a couple years where he just can't get stuff together. Even when he had Anthony Bennett, yeah, he got the shoulder thing, but he still couldn't get it all together for too much outside of, I think the first year after Ron Kruger left or something, but
yeah.
They're 9-6. They're going to be a sporadic team because they played Kansas well. They lost to Stanford. They've badly to Stanford, but they've beaten. Well,
the loss against Nevada essentially wiped out the win against Arizona.
Arizona, yeah.
Yeah, to me.
It does, yeah. Arizona's number three, beat them by four. But, yeah, that's pretty much over. We'll see. I don't know.
I thought, though, probably the biggest storyline, of course, was Nevada being UNLV. But I think Marvell Harris has put himself firmly, if not at the top, very near the top of the Mountain West Player of the Year race. He went off against SDSU, completely led them to beat the Aztecs. Then they've won now two in a row since then in Mountain West play to go to 3-1. He scored 40 points against Nevada as Fresno State beat Nevada 69-66 at Reno when the Wolfpack was hot, when they were excited about their recent win against UNLV. Marvell Harris is a grown man. He does a lot of things well. He's 6'4". He's a big guard, 210. He's averaging over 18 points, over 5 rebounds, and almost 4 assists per game. He's averaging 2 steals a game. He's tenacious on defense. His turnovers are a little high, 3.1, but he's very ball dominant. He has the ball a lot, so that's going to happen. He's going to have some turnovers. I'm super impressed by Marvell Harris, and to be quite honest, I had never really seen much of him.
Well, when they're missing, Fresno's missing their best player, somebody has to step up.
Yeah, that's true, and he's doing a heck of a job.
40 points out of 69. I didn't realize that game. He's had, I'm looking at his stuff right now, even before, he's multiple 20-plus games. Nothing outside of a few playing some low-level Evansville or Bristol. He's not doing much, but just because he doesn't need to, or St. Catherine.
Yeah, definitely stepping it up in conference play. He's got 19 against New Mexico, 25 against SDSU, 18 against Utah State, and then 14 at Nevada.
So could they be? I know we're still months away, but any dangerous when if they're like if they could be like fifth or sixth playing a top team?
Let's look at their schedule. We know they're playing. I believe it's San Jose State next, correct?
Hold on a second. Yeah, they'll win that.
Yeah, they'll win that handily.
They host Wyoming.
They host Wyoming, which is lucky. Do they have to go to Wyoming? God, we should get there.
No, they host Wyoming that first time, and they beat UNLV at home. And we know home games are, I'll give 80% chance for any home team to win, except for maybe San Jose State right now.
Right.
But yeah, they host Wyoming. They play Nevada pretty quickly again at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Here's the games where it's tough. At obvious road games, but at SDSU, at CSU, at UNLV, and at Wyoming, they play New Mexico at home. There are some tough games. I don't know if they'll get the wins, but I'm thinking if they can somehow finish above, they'll finish. Not San Jose doesn't matter, but if they can finish above, maybe Air Force, Utah State, and maybe even Boise State somehow, if they can finish like fifth or sixth. And they're playing the two or three in that first weekend, in that first day of the Mountain West tournament. And if you go, like, if anybody goes off for 30 more points, you're in the game. You're not going to be out of it if he scores 35 points.
Right. It would definitely need to be Marvell Harris led, just because it is such a low scoring league. And if you have somebody go off like that, of course you're going to be in it.
And especially if they play, not like, even if they play San Diego State, like, there's so few points allowed. If he scores 30 against Aztecs, that could be 30 or 40 points.
That's true.
And that could be enough because there's not going to be enough possessions to go around or something in that type of game. But we're still far off. But I think you have to have more wins to be player of the year. But if he could average like 27 or more and get enough wins, maybe. But they beat Nevada there somehow at what, 3-1 in conference play right now?
3-1. I for sure think Fresno State has inserted their name as the wild card of the conference this year.
Yeah, because I don't think any other team has that, really. Because UNLV is not going to be wild card because they'll finish with a decent enough record. Air Force doesn't have anybody. They lost their leading score a couple weeks ago. Boise is supposed to be good enough. They could be right there wild card as well, but I would say Fresno's most extreme with one guy who can take over a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go back to some other games. We're kind of bounced around, which is fine. Perfectly acceptable for what we try to do here. Was there any other game from the weekend we need to discuss, you think?
I mean, just, you know, Colorado State Air Force, we already hit on that just because there was the scrum. I thought, actually, in the second half, Air Force made Colorado State's defense look porous. Air Force scored 58 points in the second half. So that's something to definitely look at for Colorado State.
Air Force never scores any points. How do they get 50?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I believe it was, let me check for sure, 59 points. They scored 28 points in the first half, 59 in the second. That's something I've seen from Colorado State from watching their games this year. At times, they have a lot of defensive lapses. There's missed assignments, missed cuts, and Air Force, you know, likes to cut all day.
Yeah, nonstop.
Yeah, so that's something to watch for Colorado State, kind of lapses here and there on the defensive side.
Because
I thought Air Force definitely exploited it.
They haven't played anybody that great. Their non-league slate was pretty slim. But the only other game I like is Wyoming-Boise State. Mm-hmm. Wyoming won by 11. Not that it's not unexpected they won, because Boise's missing Jermick. He's out for the year. But Larry Nance Jr., he's okay, for people who are wondering. Calf injury or something he had? He was okay, they said. I mean, he was hobbling around, had a double-double, four blocks. I think he is a front-runner to be player of the year because of what he does. We already talked about it last week.
Mm-hmm.
Just because Wyoming will win enough games, and Boise's still pretty good. They'll probably take him a few more games to figure out where they want to be by losing Anthony Drimmick for the whole year. I don't know if it's Montego Alford, who played 25 minutes, but he had 5 points.
Yeah.
They need some more bench play. It's him and Desmond Trent to play double-digit minutes. They need to balance. You can't have 37. Their starting lineup played 30 more minutes except for Mikey Thompson.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a lot.
Boise will figure it out. They're not going to end the season second to last like they are now. They'll wind up in the top six somewhere.
Yeah, that's probably about where they'll be. All right, let's go to next week's games. We have our lone Tuesday game, which I guess, is that a thing going forward the whole year? I haven't looked at the schedule that close in a while. I guess we'll figure it out as we go along.
I guess so. That's the UNLV game, right?
Yeah, it's on ESPNU, 11 Eastern, watch ESPN, all that fun stuff. The later game, 9 local time there for Boise State. It depends what team shows up for UNLV, in my opinion, who's going to win, right?
Right, no, exactly.
As simple as that.
Boise State played Wyoming close for a long time. Wyoming just kind of broke away in the second half. So Boise's still, they're still good. Missing Dermott, yes, but they've still got a lot of good players. And UNLV, yeah, is it going to be Stanford UNLV or is it going to be Arizona UNLV?
I think what we do, Christian Wood will play pretty well, regardless. Yes. And Rashad Vaughn will be, at worst, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They're both scoring over 50, about 15 a game, but it's those two, but they need somebody else. Because you got Cody Doolin still needs to figure it out, the guy he transferred from San Francisco last year, do anything special for Kano, good luck, Akonoba is going to have 10 blocks or something in the game or whatever it may be. It's going to come down to the guys who we know who can play well if they do play well.
Right.
It's simple as that. And here's an interesting tidbit. I thought Akonoba would have the most blocks by far. Christian Woods is right behind him at 2.9 per game. Good luck has 3.1 per game.
Huh.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Christian Wood is, like I said last week, he's getting a lot of NBA looks. He's got a lot of talent over there.
Like I said, talent with UNLV, but are they going to put it together for more
than... Exactly. It's the same story every year. You'd think there'd be growth. You'd think there'd be knowledge learned from the failures of one season then applied to make it better next year. And that's coaching to me. I mean...
Get the guys together. Yeah, you know you're losing guys. There's a couple more guys. They probably lost more than they thought last year with a few guys. I forget who all left and everything, but guys who just happened to leave, not Anthony Bennett type, or guys leaving early.
Well, there was a guy that just he transferred out, and he just signed with Cal State Northridge. I forget his name.
That's true, yeah. And then they had a guy the year before, he's up at BYU now, who played like 2 games last year and transferred.
Yeah. Who's the guy on Iowa State now who was one of their best players?
Oh, it was like 2 years ago, wasn't it?
It's like DeJuan Jones or something.
Yeah, that sounds DeJuan right. DeJuan
Jones. Yeah, he's playing amazing on Iowa State. He was kind of a detriment to the team last year. So,
yeah, that doesn't help you. But I don't know. Like you said, you gotta have a coaching to figure it out. Whatever. Well, we have plenty of time to discuss UNLV's misfortunes or listen to the positive side with probably Tyler or do another podcast on UNLV basketball. So to stay positive, go listen to that. For us, we'll give us our mediocre coaching takes, which we feel are pretty good. So who would you take to win? Because it is a home game for Boise State.
Oh boy.
And also they're 0-3 in conference play so far.
Yeah, I would go Boise. They want to strictly avoid going 0-4 because they would be tied for last. It wouldn't last, of course, but they would for a time be tied for last with San Jose State in conference, and people would take screenshots of that and post it all over Twitter and not let the Broncos ever forget it.
Just like Hawaii in first place that one week in football, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think Boise gets it done at home. I think UNLV, you know, is good for a little bit, and they're bad for a little bit, and the bad is going to be their downfall in this game.
I think it'll be a close game. Won't be any blowout, but it'll be something where they'll, like I said, they'll shoot bad for three-pointers. They'll give up some dumb mistakes. Christian would have 20 or 25 points, but the secondary unit won't help out too much. And I 100% agree with you. They'll figure it out more, and Boise will get the win on that random Tuesday night Mountain West game.
Yeah.
All right, so what do we got, Wins? Let's see. Anything we need to find out? We know Colorado State's losing. They're playing, or not losing, but they're playing Nevada, and we already discussed that a bunch. They're losing undefeated Nevada. Excuse me, have to mention it every time not to lose. Avila's out, but I don't know. It's at home, but not undefeated Nevada. That's Fresno State we're discussing. No,
they're both the only undefeated.
Wyoming's
the only undefeated. Yeah,
is that it? I've been thinking some random teams undefeated. It was so much to me for me to think about.
Nevada was undefeated until Fresno State beat it.
That's who it was. That's right. Yeah. Sorry. So yeah. 2-1 Nevada.
Yes.
As I'm looking at the numbers, I'm like, wait, there's a zero somewhere. Do I need to enlarge my screen to see that? No. Yeah, Nevada's 2-1. Nevada can win that game. I don't see why not. You're losing your best player.
They can, but. I don't think they will. I like Colorado State at home. They've got more players than J.J. Avila. Yes, he's their leader, but they wouldn't have gone 14-0, even with the non-conference slate they played, if they didn't have a good roster. Larry Eustace, he's got his Rams going. Nevada had a great game against UNLV, but to me, I would still favor Colorado State at home.
Probably.
Yeah.
And the other game I want to see this on that Wednesday, Aztecs at Wyoming.
Yes, that's a biggie.
That's another late game on ESPN2, 8 Pacific, 9 in Laramie time. That is Mountain time zone, nothing crazy about Laramie, but it is small town time zone there at 9 p.m. But it depends what team shows up for San Diego State, because they're offensively, like you watch them a lot. We all know there's some issues in offense.
SDSU is always going to shoot 40%. It just matters how many turnovers they have. That's it. They're always going to shoot 40.
And free throws, that's an issue too. They're going to make a couple.
Yeah.
So what do you think could happen? Because I think still the best player on the court's Larry Nance on either team.
Oh, Wyoming will have the best player on the court easily. Both teams are relatively equal. A lot of people in the San Diego community are saying that the Fresno State loss was the best thing that could have happened to SDSU, because it was a huge slap in the face. It whipped them into shape. And while all that I think is completely true, I think they'll play a great game at Wyoming. It is near impossible to win at Wyoming.
You're 7,200 feet.
Yeah, it's difficult to get there. First of all, transportation. I know back in high school when I played volleyball, I didn't feel too good getting off an hour-long bus ride. After a plane ride, no less, that would be incredibly difficult. And it's 7,000 feet in the air, and it's a freaking good team. They don't have a very good crowd, which is unfortunate for the Cowboys. But
Sell out probably their 8,000, but the thing only holds 8,000 or 9,000.
Yeah, and it's also, there's, you know, 17,000 feet of snow on the ground, so it's hard for fans to get there. But
it's a couple of things. Besides going from 0 to 7,200, people are like, well, Wyoming doesn't score points. They don't. They're slow pace. Yeah, their possessions might be slow, but it's like we discussed earlier with Air Force. They keep moving and moving and moving.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they may take a shot with 4 seconds on shot clock, but they're not sitting still passing from the top of the key around the top of the three-point line the whole time. They're moving, they're slicing, all these little white guys will dunk over anybody they have and do an alley-oop or something.
They are freaking athletic. Yeah, they don't do... They don't do what SDSU used to do until the New Mexico game, just passing around. I think this game is probably a matchup between the teams that will finish first and second in the conference, and they'll probably split a home and home during the year. SDSU will lose to Wednesday, and then
this is the only time they play. Oh no, they do play. Sorry.
No, last year they only played once at Wyoming. This year they play at Wyoming and SDSU.
Yeah, I looked at the bottom. I didn't see. But yeah, they don't play until February, but they'll probably, split most likely. I'll go with Wyoming just because home court is huge, and mm-hmm. that San Diego State's offense is hit or miss, and I think it'll be a miss when there's 15 minutes left in the second half and you're sucking wind to have oxygen on the sideline to try to play.
Yeah, I've long been saying, you know, top 10 defense, bottom 10 offense. I finally looked at the KenPom numbers, and SDSU ranks third in the country in adjusted defense, and they rank 222nd in adjusted offense.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
And also, yeah. I noticed as well, they don't share the ball too much. Their assists are pretty
bad. 9 assists a game or something, yeah.
Yeah, 9.9. Okay. How many? Wait, do you know how many teams are in or Division I?
345.
Oh, okay, because they're 326 assists per game.
Yeah, that's bad. That's
I knew they were near the bottom. I didn't know if they were dead last, but they're close. But
yeah.
Cowboys win.
Yeah, probably.
And there'll be at least two spectacular dunks by either team total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the only game you should, if you're going to watch any game on Wednesday, watch that game.
Unless yeah, it's on ESPN 2. That'd be fun, you know.
Yeah, a little bit late, kind of late, but it depends where you live. But the rest of the games, New Mexico will win. San Jose State will not win. And Nevada CSU could be interesting, so keep an eye out for that. But let's go to Saturday. We'll go for a few more games.
Okay.
What do we got Saturday? I need to pay attention to my schedule here. Hey, the good old UNLV San Diego State game.
Yeah, ooh, at Viejas Arena. That would be a fun one. Okay. And that's a daytime one on CBS Sports Network, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Mountain time. That's a good one.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Okay, let's put it this way. Two good names, good opponents. We'll see what UNLV brings to the table.
Yeah, because that is one of – I know Nevada UNLV is technically like, oh, it's the in-state rivalry, blah, blah, blah. Boo. And I know that New Mexico SDSU has been, you know, the top two teams for a while, so, oh, that's the best rivalry. No, UNLV SDSU is, in my opinion, the best rivalry in the Mountain West. Close behind would probably be – Wyoming and Colorado State.
I could see that. I like New Mexico State and New Mexico State. At least last year was really good.
Yeah.
And they're always...
Which is because they've been the best the past few years. Mm-hmm. They've been the best. So it's been natural.
Yeah, those two. Yeah. And for me, it's all on UNLV. What are you bringing on Saturday? It's all on them for this to be a good game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We've no need to rehash, oh, Christian Wood, good luck, whatever they're going to do. Rashad Vaughn, it's on them to come to show up. If not... I don't think Aztecs have the ability to blow anybody out unless they're a really bad team. Mm-hmm. But if they went by 10, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, no, I was quite frankly surprised they beat New Mexico by 14. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that too, yeah.
That's like Duke beating a team by 40. Like, that's amazing for SDSU, so...
For that many points. Yeah. And that's... Is there any news on Pole? Anything updates? He's still practicing? That's pretty much it?
No, he's not even practicing. He's, you know... cleared to just be at practice with his teammates, but he's not cleared for any physical activity. They're running tests on tests on tests, just trying to figure out what the heck happened. He, every time in the interviews, he says he's hopeful and optimistic that he will be able to play again, but that could be just him, you know, just wanting to play again. I don't know if there's any science backing that up.
It could be, because all the privacy stuff, hard to know exactly what happened. I think possibly seizure, perhaps. For what happened, I don't know if that.
It looked like one. I mean, that it was almost obvious he was seizing. It's just what caused it.
Yeah, because my little kid, he has seizure. It depends on certain things, or brain issues, or he had actually a random one of Christmas lights, which was kind of weird a couple years ago. But for the basketball game, it's kind of like, okay, what happened? And we knew it happened before, so I didn't know if there's any update on that. Because you could be physically fine, but there's an issue if it's, who knows if it's a heart thing or heart rate or something, if there's something that, if that could be a cause and effect to just pass out, I don't know, but.
Yeah, I don't know. His dad, who was the coach at San Francisco, head coach of San Francisco, Dwayne Pulley Sr., he has a heart condition.
Hmm.
So he was actually the guy at Viejas Arena who yelled, call 911, and he ran out on the court because he probably thought, heart.
Yeah, it could be related. That could be a big deal. So, okay, I was just curious if there's nothing. I knew there's something about him either hanging out at practice or practicing, but and he could feel fine. But like once you actually exert yourself, that's where there could be an issue.
So. Exactly. It's so sad to look at him on the bench, though. He's not having a good time.
No kidding. But
yeah.
All right. As for the rest of Saturday, it's wide open. I'm saying Air Force State could be interesting just because both teams are just okay.
Yeah, Colorado State, San Jose State.
No. Okay, no. Yeah. Wyoming. Well, I guess, okay, let's give some credit to Wyoming Fresno State, just because Fresno State is 3-1. They will be 4-1, and it could be either a 4-1, 4-1 league play or a 4-1, 5-0, Wyoming, if Wyoming can win.
Yeah, and it'll be at Fresno State.
And they've already beat, who they beat at home? UNLV at home? Haven't they beat somebody else at home?
They beat SDSU at home.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, not UNLV, excuse me. Yeah, San Diego State home. How do they lose to Texas Tech on the road? Texas Tech is not any good either, are they?
Texas Tech gave Oklahoma a good run for their money.
Maybe they are. I'm used to it. Let's see here. Yeah, they're 10-6, okay. But 0-3 in Big 12 play. So, yeah. I thought, yeah, that's right, the Aztec. I thought they beat UNLV at home. No, they, at home, they took, wait, I'm at the wrong team. Hold on. I'm looking at San Diego State schedule.
My tab
issues are back to get me.
They beat SDSU and they beat Utah State at home. They lost at the Pit. And then they won at Nevada.
Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to see who else they played. Nobody. If you're looking at the stretch, like, these teams aren't very good, but like ECU, Marist, Cal, Northern Arizona, they've lost that stretch, which is a bad stretch to lose to those teams. What's that, 5 in a row? But like, oh, you take away these 10 losses, we're pretty good. But
yeah, and then, well, then they beat UCI. They bounce back. UCI is a pretty good Big West school.
I mean, yeah, and then when it counts, yeah, they're okay, but like Pacific, they played them pretty close, pretty good, but that's, after that stretch, they haven't been terrible. Like, besides, yeah, Texas Tech lost by a lot, but Pacific played close, New Mexico reasonably close, 12 points is okay on the road.
Yeah.
It's just it's a home thing, so we'll see if somehow they can do it at home against Wyoming. Probably not, but I think it's on ESPN3, so if you have that, I would at least watch your internet, maybe, or text messages, or however you get your score updates to see how that could go down.
Yeah, or just watch it to watch Marvel Harris. He's fun. He's fun to watch right now.
Harris versus Larry Nance. That could be pretty. That could be exciting.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, if he goes off for 35 or 40 points, there's a very good possibility that could be an upset if he has a huge game. So
yeah.
Outside of those games, watch your team, right?
Yeah. Watch who are they playing? Let's see. Oh, it's the UNLV game. That's right. And then after UNLV. 3 days later at Air Force. Yeah, that's too far from now.
Yeah, so that's what we got. So Saturday, plan your schedule accordingly. Hopefully we know what we're talking about for basketball.
Yeah, we're doing well. This is good.
Yeah, we're doing good. I know. We'll see if we'll get Chris next time. He might be joining us. He's been pretty busy doing academia stuff, I believe, at his university there in Las Vegas.
Cool.
So anything else we need to add for basketball this evening?
Just it's absolutely insane. Did you think Boise State was going to be 0-3 and Fresno State was going to be 3-1?
No.
No?
I did not. There was a fight this weekend. Same question I asked last week. You still feel confident that the league champion will have, what did you say, 4 losses last week?
Yeah, I still like 14-4 as the champion.
Champion. Also, did we mention that I'm officially going to be in Las Vegas?
Oh, you are?
No matter what happens, I will be there.
Good. Okay. Finally. Good.
Yeah. Finally. So we'll do. I think I mentioned last week there will be some sort of. There'll be a handful of us there. I think you're going to be there, right? Most likely.
Yeah. Will Chris be there? I'm sure Chris will be there.
He lives there.
Yeah. He better be there.
He lives in town. He'll be there. I think me, you, probably Tyler. We'll do something. Maybe.
I know Rafa will be there.
Rafa. Yeah. Yeah. He'll be there. We'll do something fun. That's still months away, but I will be there for the semifinals and finals. So.
Okay. Cool.
The fun games, I like to call it. Yeah. The quarterfinal game, not they're not fun, but I've done 4 or 5 games in one day. It's exhausting.
It is exhausting.
Just sitting there watching basketball and typing just gets exhausting sitting there. Like, I've done the NCAA tournament thing before.
Yeah.
You went to break. I'm like, oh, 4 games. I'm here all day. It's just weird. There's energy in the crowd. Like, it's just kind of weird. We're there for, like, it's like you're working for, you are working, but like, if you're there for somewhere for 8 or 10 hours in one place, you get tired.
Yeah.
So, but we'll do that. So we'll do something fun. We may figure something out. But this is our basketball show. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. Remember, 5-star rating. I don't care what review you give us. Tell me I'm terrible because I can't talk right now. You can say Matt's the brains of the operation for his Aztec knowledge. Say what you want. Just give us 5 stars. Like I said, Blog Talk, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, all that stuff. Check us out. We'll be back next week for more basketball stuff. And yeah, have a good weekend, and we'll see what happens. Let's hope your team wins.